College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Look for the women and children of Eden go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast, coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Later in this show, we'll be joined by Georgia head coach Tom Crean. Meanwhile, I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Today's episode of the College Hoops Day podcast is brought to you by Body Armor Sports Drink. The more natural, the more better all-around sports drink, in my opinion. Body Armor Sports Drink is more potassium-packed electrolytes than the competition. Natural flavors and sweeteners and no colors from artificial sources. Body Armor Sports Drink provides superior hydration for those who demand better. Visit their website, drinkbodyarmor.com, to learn more. And obviously, the focus this week is going to be all about the Final Four. Two blue bloods on one side of the bracket, Villanova against Kansas, and obviously the great Brandon, Michigan against the great Cinderella in Loyola of Chicago. And one thing, when I mention blue bloods, that I think it's very important to point out right now is that Villanova, by beating Texas Tech on Sunday in a game where it shot 4 of 24 from 3, reiterated that it does not need to make outside shots to win big in March. And another thing it reiterated, three Final Fours in the last 10 years, two in the last three seasons, a chance to win second national title in three seasons. Villanova has officially now joined the Kansases, the Kentuckys, the North Carolinas, the Dukes as a blue blood in college basketball, and they will take on Kansas in a rematch of the 2016 Elite Eight in Louisville that Villanova won. Now, the other side of the bracket, you've got the best defensive team John Beilein has ever had. Michigan's been stalwarts defensively in this NCAA tournament. And then you have a Loyola Chicago team that is really starting to resemble a team that may be a Cinderella based on somebody from the periphery, but they are no fluke. They are doing this with textbook offense and rock-solid defense. And I think one of the more interesting things about this Loyola Chicago team is that anybody can be the assassin. Against Miami late in the game, it was Ingram. Meanwhile, against Tennessee late in the game, it was Clayton Custer. It was Marcus Towns late in the game against Nevada. And then we saw Ben Richardson do yeoman's work against Kansas State. Loyola may play in the Missouri Valley, but the Ramblers are no fluke. Tom Crean wasn't a fluke when he was the head coach of Indiana, won a pair of Big Ten regular season championships within a four-year span. And the next head coach of Georgia joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. SEC basketball has been an upward trajectory over the past few seasons, and the conference had a major hire over the past couple weeks when Georgia tabbed Tom Crean as their next head basketball coach. And Coach Crean joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. Coach, how surreal is it still to hear that as an introduction?
Well, I loved how you said major. Like, I love the way you projected your voice on that. So that was cool. But it's moving. Right? Like, it's moving right now. I'm on the highway right now in between recruiting stops. And so, to me, there's not a lot of time to sit back and think about it, but I know that I'm working with a smile on my face and excited for what we're getting a chance to do. And I've always respected this league and respected Georgia athletics and the Georgia program. And now to be taking it over is tremendous. So it's been fun.
Now, I'm curious, what was your perception of the Georgia job when you were a head coach at Marquette in Indiana from a distance?
Well, I always followed it, right? Because, I mean, you can't not follow it. It's in the SEC. It's a big name. I actually coached against Georgia in 2012, it would have been. We were number one in the country, and we played them at the Barclays Center. And in fact, I believe you were at that.
I was there. Good first half, and you guys pulled away.
Exactly, and they had KCP then, and then we beat Georgetown the next night. But I've always had a lot of respect for the programs here, whether it was Hugh Durham when you're coming up as a coach, or, you know, Jim Herrick obviously coached here, Dennis Felton, Mark Fox, those guys ran really good programs. And to me, it was more coming into this area. It wasn't as much about the University of Georgia, because I'd never really been here but one time in 1990. It was more about the state of Georgia. It was more about the Southeast region. It was more about the capabilities of a program like this because of what's here recruiting-wise and what you have the potential to be able to bring into your program. And all you have to do is look at some of the names that have played there, but very importantly, look at the other sports, certainly starting with what Georgia football has been about. So that, to me, I've always had a very good feel for it. And I don't want to say that it was undertapped, because I've never been here to know, but I think there is a ton of potential here for making this rise up.
You know, Coach, when you know, obviously we're fortunate enough to have the job I have, and you can travel around the country and you see different campuses and where they're located, you obviously get a feel for the logistics of things. And, you know, the one thing that everybody has always said about Maryland is it's such a great job because you don't have to get on a plane to recruit. And when I was in Athens a couple of years ago, I said, you know what? Georgia can in a lot of ways be the Maryland of the South because you have such close proximity to Atlanta. Do you think there's some truth to that, that there's such a fertile recruiting base in place that you won't have to get on a plane as much because of what's around you at such so short distance?
Absolutely. You know, you have to be on the plane in the summer because, like any place else, they're all in different regions playing their tournaments. But even Atlanta's such a big hub because, see, you always had to fly into Atlanta for the games. And I think that's where you learn to kind of fall in love with the area. But there's no doubt. I mean, our first 3 days recruiting were spent in Atlanta. But it's also the state of Georgia. And that's where I'm at today, and even in the surrounding areas a little bit, because there's so much proximity to the campus, you know, not only Atlanta, which is very close, but these other pockets of Georgia that are so close, and people can be there in a very short period of time. And put it this way, this is my fourth day recruiting. I haven't been on a plane yet, because we haven't needed to. And
right.
So definitely going to save some jet hours. But the bottom line is, when I look at where the makeup of our team right now and see how close a lot of those guys are to Georgia, there's no reason that we can't continue to do that. And then still be able, because Georgia's a national name, be able to go different places if it's really going to fit for people. So I want us to be a national household name in basketball as we continue to grow this. But I want people to be able to look at it and say they've got so many good players in that area, and they have a chance to stay home and play for the Georgia Bulldogs.
You know, you've obviously went to a Final Four. You won two Big Ten regular season titles in 4 years at Indiana. And I think it's amazing how every hire that the SEC is making right now is augmenting the perception of the league. And for a long time, the league was viewed as Kentucky and Florida and everybody else when Billy Donovan was in Gainesville. What has it been like for you, to somebody who's coached in the Midwest, to watch the SEC grow from afar and see so many accomplished coaches take their current posts?
Not surprised at all, especially when you look at the fact and read things that Greg Sankey does and the way that he supports not only all the other sports, but the way that he's looking to make basketball what it can be. The fact that he has Mike Trangisi, who literally belongs in the Basketball Hall of Fame for what he has done as a contributor to the game, with what he did in the beginning of the Big East and what he did as commissioner there. And I had a chance to work for him when I was at Marquette. Dan Leibovitz coming in with a real coaching mindset to add to every part of this. So to me, and there are others, you know, others I probably haven't even met yet that I'm missing, and I don't mean to, but those are the people that I know. So when you look at the coaches, when you look at the level of team, the sustainability in this league is fantastic. And I look at Georgia saying there is no reason we can't be right in the midst of all that year in and year out.
Georgia head coach Tom Crean joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. You know, Coach, I was doing an interview with Bob Knight a couple of years ago, and he said that the hardest year he had in his career was the year between Indiana and Texas Tech, because he had everything that he ever wanted out of life monetarily, but he didn't have a team. What was it like for Tom Crean last year for the first time in a long time not to have a team?
Well, I always felt like I would have a team again. I always felt like I would coach again. So I never looked at that with a woe is me, I wish I had a team. I wanted to be that much more prepared when I did get that team. And to me, people would say, well, do you miss coaching? And my answer would be, no, I love coaching. All right? It's not about missing it, because I'm loving what I'm doing here now too. And I say that I didn't have a team that was on the floor. But you know this from working where you're at in CBS. you're a part of a lot of small groups, a lot of smaller teams that are a big part of an organization every day, whether you're at a game, whether you're doing a game, doing a studio. And I loved that. I mean, I learned so much more about being a teammate, about teamwork, about the small group leadership and being with ESPN. And then to see all the different teams and organizations that I did, I was not going to waste the time. And I didn't. And the most important thing was that our family would be situated and happy. And we grew into that. And we moved to Florida, and everybody got their life going in a way. Because this was the first time, not only for my kids, but this was the first time in my wife's life that she was not a part of a team, because she was born into a football coaching family.
Right.
So it was different for everybody. But I enjoyed everything that I did. And it just makes me that much more, I don't want to say hungry, because I was always hungry for a team, but I was not like where I was dwelling on it. But I know I'm excited, and I don't have any trouble getting out on that court again, being able to teach and coach the way that we want to, and then also be able to apply the things that I've learned this past year.
And, you know, I'm curious. I've talked to a lot of coaches who have went from coaching to the media for the year, and they have said that they have a completely different perception of the media after working in it for a year or two. How different is your perception of the media side of things compared to before you were working for ESPN?
Well, I think there's different levels of it. I think there's still always going to be people that do any part of this business that they're going to be set in their ways, or they're going to be set with their sources, and there's not as much of an open-mindedness. I think what I was able to really be around this year were people that really were, that really want to be at the top of their profession. And when I look at the media, I look at the sports business, the television and radio and print part of it, as a I don't want to say a newfound respect, because I thought I had respect, but people are really trying to be really, really good at what they want to do. They want to do good work. They want to put good things out there for people. And I think the thing that like blew me away at ESPN, and this would seem kind of common, but I think when you're around it every day, it blew me away, how much people absolutely love sports. I mean, they love it. It doesn't matter if it's football, basketball, baseball. Everybody has their favorites, but they love sports, and they love getting it across. And I think seeing sports and basketball through so many people's eyes, whether it be younger players, families, but certainly people in the media world, has helped me and will help me immensely going forward, and what's important and what's not for people to see.
Georgia head coach Tom Crean joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I believe it's around the 10-year anniversary of your press conference when you were introduced at Indiana, and you had a very quick but very effective statement on that day about why you took the job, and you said, it's Indiana. When you were thinking about getting another job and you thought about the fact that it may not be a school like Indiana, a blue blood, what is the positive of that? What is the downside?
Well, the blue bloods, those are a lot of times things in name and tradition only. And I think the bottom line is you've got to be working with people that are trying to get to the very best. Like ESPN is a great example. CBS is a great example. Those people are at the top of their game, but they're never sitting there. All right? They're never just sitting there hoping that it stays that way. They're driving the engine constantly. And to me, when I think of Georgia, and it's certainly you get in here, like it's all here, right? Like everything is here. And you've just got to build your program inside of it. But I look at the level of athletic success that has been at a place like this for decades. And like I'm at a baseball game on Saturday, and it's the first time I've seen like a true SEC game where it's two SEC teams. They're playing South Carolina, Georgia. It's sold out. It's sold out on a Saturday in a beautiful stadium.
Right.
And it's fantastic. So the level of passion that people have for the overall sports, I think that's the same as a blue blood. It doesn't make a difference to me. It's who you're working with, what's there, can you attract and bring the best and the brightest, and do you have something that's going to help set them apart? And that to me was more important than anything. And maybe Georgia basketball doesn't have the immense tradition of what some other programs might have, blue bloods and others included. But boy, it's here to be able to build it. and there is a passion for sports. So it's when this is up and running the way we want it to be, it's not like they're not used to sellouts. It's not like they haven't sold out Saturday afternoons. It's not like they haven't had big crowds. And that's what I'm looking forward to being a part of as we move it forward.
You mentioned, obviously, the people that you're working with, and it was well documented that when you were at Indiana, you had a number of former head coaches on your staff. As of now, what does Tom Crean's first staff at Georgia look like?
Well, we're working on that. I think I'm definitely getting close in a couple of areas on that, but I'm also not in a rush in other areas. It's so busy. I got here last Monday. The players had been on spring break. Came in. Landed, we had a 2:45 meeting, and by 3:45 we were on the court. Mm-hmm. And that is, without question, the most important thing right now. The staff is extremely important, but getting the right staff for this team, for this region, for this program is extremely important. But establishing how we're going to do it on the court and establishing how we're going to try to attack recruiting, it's important in the base, and then getting people that are going to be preaching that message. So I don't know if it'll be a situation. I would highly doubt it's going to be a situation where I had three former head coaches on the staff like I had last time. 3 years ago, I had five former head coaches on the staff.
Right.
And I loved it. You know, I loved that. But I think, you know, when you go into a new area like this, like I am, it's important that if you have a growth mindset like I do, at least like I think I do, you got to have a very open mind. And I don't come in here with any preconceived notion that I totally get this. You know, we moved to Florida, but that doesn't mean that I understand the South. It doesn't.
Right.
You know, I'd like to think I understand how we're going to play basketball, but I want to really do a great job of building our program, not only in this region, but to a place where alums across the country and world are going to be proud of it. So making sure, it's like you tell a recruit, when you pick a school, take all the reasons that aren't going to be important if you were picking it for the second time out of it. Because if you're making a choice for the second time, it's really going to be just a couple of things. And I think it's the same when you build a staff. You don't hire a staff to have to replace it in a year or two because it didn't work out. You hire a staff that's going to be good enough to go be head coaches.
Right.
And get, like how I was raised as a coach, by Ralph Willard and by Tom Izzo. That's the most important thing for me, and that's what I'm searching and seeking out right now.
And obviously you're working at your team before you put a staff in place. What are the first impressions of the roster that you inherited?
Excitement. But there's a hunger to them. A lot of eye contact. They want to get better. What I love right now is that they're in the gym at night. You know, we had our first workout of the second week yesterday, but yet there's players that are coming through my office last night at 11 o'clock at night. You're just before 11 o'clock at night that had been in the gym, and you know their shirts are full of sweat. Right, like to me. That's what you want. I mean, that's how you build. That's how we're going to build our program. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You got to have people that they are so passionate and committed to getting better that whether you're there or not, they're working on those things. But then also getting people that are available to them. You know, that's why the graduate managers and people like that are extremely important to us because they have that access to the players that the coaches don't always have. But I like the upside. I like the young athleticism. And we just got to, you know, like I said to them, John, in the first meeting, and I think this was, I'm working to live this every day. There'll be no assumptions made, and I'm doing everything not to make judgments, but I am evaluating everything every day. And that's how we're going to operate. And it's not about what was done. It's not about what you thought. It's about what are we going to do moving forward. And they can't get mad at me when I'm teaching something that they might have known from the fifth grade, and I'm not going to get mad at them if it's something that I don't agree with yet because we got to learn and see if we can get on the same page with it. And I see a group of willing guys right now that want to do that, and I love that.
Well, and that's obviously going to bode well for them in the future, and I'm curious about that aspect because I really felt that really during your last 5 years at Indiana, the one thing that always stood out with your team was the level of player development. I didn't think anybody in the country did player development better than Indiana. I know you've only had a quick snippet, but is there a player or players from the get-go that you think have the potential to make a big jump based on what you've seen so far?
It's too early. It would be too early for me to do that because I'm giving the walk-ons are getting the same workout that the other guys are getting. I would think when you look, that Kirtle Jackson, who's going to be a senior, is hungry. Tyree Crump, I think, is somebody that, again, I've watched film and I've watched it all year because I've, you know, watching a lot of games. But I think I'd have a much better assessment as we go on the line. There's no question that the freshmen right now, like Nick Claxton and Rayshon Hammonds, Tyshawn Hightower, there's some upside in there. But I don't want to – I see upside in all of them. I really do. And when you say player development, you know, that's something that we take incredible pride and interest in making it go from top to bottom. So, again, the walk-ons and even guys that weren't playing a lot, they may not have been getting all the minutes, but they were certainly going to get the time when it came to get better. And I just want to keep working with these guys to see where it can go in this area and keep developing their skill package. You know, and we've got some good rising seniors. We've got some sophomores that are going to grow up into be juniors. Then we have that freshman class. But the bottom line, Yante Mathis worked out with us 2 of the 4 days. In the bottom line, every time that workout ends, I know he's not back. Mm-hmm. So you have to view it that way. He actually sat in our first team meeting, which I love because I knew him from recruiting him at Indiana. But we're going to coach with player development completely in mind, recruit with it in mind, and know that probably I could answer your question a lot better as we see our shooting improve, because we've got a long way to go with getting our outside shooting to be where it's going to need to be to compete in this league.
Georgia head coach Tom Crean joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, for a large portion of the last year, you were an analyst, so put on your analyst hat right now. For me, as you look ahead to the Final Four, you coached against John Beilein in the Big Ten, you coached against Jay Wright in the Big East, and I know that you spent a lot of time around Kansas this year in your broadcasting work. How do you see things shaking out in San Antonio?
And I've known Porter Moser since he was an assistant, and we coached against each other my second year when he was at Little Rock and I was at Marquette. So
I've
got a relationship that dates back with him. And so, to me, I think it's outstanding because every team has got enough depth right now. Not great depth, not maybe 9 and 10 depth, but enough depth to compete in this game. And they have guard play. I think Simpson has improved tremendously at Michigan. Clayton Custer may not have been a household name 2 weeks ago. He's certainly going to be this week. Devontae Graham is not only one of the best players in the country, he's one of the most improved players in the country, especially from December on. And that's not even counting Spee or Malik, you know, and the level of improvement that they have made. And Jalen Brunson has been a stronger candidate for National Player of the Year as anybody has been outside of Trae Young during the run Trae had during the season. So guard play, shooting, consistency of ball movement, matchup issues. Here's what it's going to come down to me, okay? If you, like Michigan's a great example. When you overhelp on Michigan, they carve you up. When you start chasing a non-penetrating drive and you come off one of those corners, they put numerous guys on the court that can knock it down. How well you guard the ball is going to be important. How little you give overhelps is going to be crucial. And then the other part is, all right, who is going to be the best in these about getting second shot opportunities to get threes? Because all four teams, all right, have got, not, I don't want to say a reliance on three-point shooting, but they really need the three-point shooting. But you're also talking about some good defenses, without question. So you're not just going to come down and get open drive and kick threes. So you've got to be able to get second shot threes, fast break threes, or miss free throw, rebound, kick out threes. You're going to have to steal threes. And that's going to be important in the game because I think the level of defense and who can get out and get some break baskets, because you know invariably what happens is it can become very possession-oriented this time of year. But none of these teams are all really good at creating extra possessions.
Sure.
So I think that's going to be the fun of the tournament, or the fun of the weekend, I should say.
Final thing for me, Tom. What's the biggest difference in Tom Crean right now versus when he coached his last game at Indiana?
Good question, because I had great energy. I loved what I was doing. I think greatest difference. I have even more, and I thought I had this, but I even have more of a faith and a trust in believing in God's plan, even when you can't necessarily feel it or see it, and helping those around you that are closest to you trust it too, even when they can't see it. And I thought I had that before. And I'm not saying just because I got the Georgia job. I don't mean it like that at all. I mean, it's much more that when you think things are not where they need to be, you have got to trust God no matter what. And that's exactly how I feel, more so than ever.
Well, Coach, very happy for your success. College basketball will be better next year because you're back on the sidelines. Safe travels recruiting, and I look forward to staying connected along the way.
Absolutely, John. I really appreciate it.
I'd love to tell you more about Body Armor Sports Drink. Body Armor delivers premium, better-for-you hydration to provide today's athletes and anyone who is active the best in sports nutrition and hydration. Body Armor Sports Drink contains potassium-packed electrolytes from coconut water, which is pretty good, natural flavors, which I like too, and sweeteners and no colors from artificial sources. That's big. So ditch your outdated sports drink and make the switch to Body Armor, the choice of today's athlete, whether it's James Harden, Kristaps Porzingis, Richard Sherman, Mike Trout, and the world's number one golfer, Dustin Johnson. And then for those counting calories, check out Body Armor Light if you're a little more conscious about what you're putting in your system. That's a sports drink that has all the electrolytes, 20 calories per serving. That's it, and only 3 grams of sugar. It naturally tastes great. I'm a big fan of Body Armor. My go-to is the fruit punch, whether I'm working out or I'm on the air. Visit their website, drinkbodyarmor.com, to learn more. And we'd like to thank Georgia head coach Tom Crean for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, audiobooks are great for helping you be a better you, whether you want to learn something new or getting motivated. You can check out books like The 4-Hour Workweek or How to Be a Boss. Audible helps you listen to more books by making it easy to switch between devices. Plus, your books are yours to keep. With Audible, you can go back and listen anytime, even if you cancel. Start a 30-day trial and your first audiobook is free. Go to audible.com/ch today. You can browse the unmatched selection of audio programs, download a title free, and start listening. Go to audible.com/ch today or text CH today to 500-500 to get started. Now it's time for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question is going to come from Jeff Smith. And John, who do you like in the matchup between Michigan and Loyola, and why? I'm going to go with Michigan in this game, Jeff, because I simply love the way Mo Wagner can expose potentially Loyola down low. I think one of the big areas where you're going to see separation in this game is at the five spot. Wagner obviously capable of stretching the defense, but also can use his craftiness to get to the rim. So I like Michigan to get to its second national championship game in the last decade. Obviously went in 2013. Our next question is going to come from David Stywall, and it's, John, when will you release your top 25? That will happen next Tuesday after the NCAA tournament title game in San Antonio, and also we will cover that and go through it next week right here on the College Hoops Today podcast. And when shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for 75 years, so if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. Now that we got you set for your car insurance, let's get some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, sharing is caring. Loyola Chicago knows how to share. 17 assists on 27 made field goals against Kansas State. Nugget number two, remember the Alamo. 10 years ago, Kansas won a national title in 2008. Where was that Final Four? San Antonio. Nugget number three, more than one way to skin a cat. Villanova again, 4 of 24 from 3 against Texas Tech. Cats still won the ball game by 12 points. You don't need to make shots big if you're Villanova to win big in March. Nugget number four, getting defensive. Michigan now only allowing 59 points per game in 4 NCAA tournament games. And nugget number five, build your own legacy. Devontae Graham and Sfema Hajduk finally make the Final Four. These are two players that in each of the past two seasons lost in the Elite Eight. And it's time now for our What to Watch For at the Final Four, brought to you by Body Armor Sports Drink. The more natural, better, all-around sports drink. And for me, if I'm watching one thing at the Final Four, it's how does Kansas continue to play as well with its smaller brand of basketball? Will it be in a situation again where it has to make a significant amount of threes to stay close? And can Malik Newman continue to play as well as he's been playing? And now it's obviously our time for our audible player to watch at the Final Four. My player to watch at this Final Four is going to be Omari Spellman. I think he's a critical piece for Villanova against Kansas. Kansas obviously anchored inside by Udoka Azubuike. Two blue bloods, as I said, squaring off, but Omari Spellman is the guy for me that needs to be keyed on when we're looking right now at the Final Four. We'd like to thank Georgia's Tom Crean for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We will be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. I am taking Villanova and Michigan on Saturday, and I like Villanova to win its second national title in the last three seasons. This has been the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.